Town of Brule, regular meeting for June 9th, 2014, will come to order. Please turn off our sounds, electronic devices. Ms. Bourgeois, would you lead us in pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Rhodes?
Here.
Councilmember Bourgeois?
Here.
Councilmember Reisner?
Here.
Councilmember Andre?
Here.
Councilmember Geisler?
Here.
Attorney Costa?
Here.
Mayor Bowman?
Here. You have in your package the minutes for the regular meeting on May 12th. Do I hear any corrections or a motion accept?
Move.
Move by Ms. Andre, second by Ms. Bourgeois. Are there any comments from the audience? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Public Works, consider police station change orders 1 and 2. They were discussed last week at the committee meetings. One is in the amount of $100 an hour, $600 an hour favor. The other one is for $38,000 for the apron around the maintenance point, which is our request, and that there was no error made. So can we approve both of them at the same time? Yeah, yeah. Do I hear a motion or anything?
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Mr. Rhodes, second by Mr. Richard. Any comments from the audience? Any further comments from the council? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Consider authorizing the mayor to sign an agreement with Owen and White. Thomas looked at it, according to Roy. The only reason they need it is the insurance. Insurer needs us to sign it, and it's the same rates. You know, they work by the hour, so it's just the way it is. It seemed to be the same. So with that, I would ask that you authorize me to sign an agreement with Owen and White.
I move.
Move, Mr. Geisler?
I'll second.
Second, Mr. Rhodes. Any comments from the audience? Hearing none, any further discussion from council? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Planning, consider variance request, Mr. Alcee Berthelot. You can see the drawing put together by Owen and White up there. Paid $300 an hour for the engineer who did that. It's a very nice drawing. Anyway, it was discussed at the planning commission meeting and recommended favorably, and it was discussed last week at the committee meeting. So with that, I'll turn it over to council for consideration.
I so move.
Move by Ms. Bourgeois?
Second.
Second, Mr. Richard. Any comments from the audience? Hearing none, any further discussion from the council? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Next is Finance Committee. We'll get the finances from the budget. Personnel Committee, none. Recreation Committee, Police Committee. And number one, consider Chief Johnson's recommendation for termination of employment of Harry G. Banta. Chief, if you come up to the mic, please.
You guys got my letter from last week, I assume? I didn't have the letter set at all. I'm not going to speak outside of the letter. I'm recommending. On May 23rd, I wrote a letter to Officer Banta and explained to him the situation that we were currently in. It was an inherited situation from a prior administration. I was informed by that chief on his way out that we had an issue with the position. I researched it. I got with the post council who governs everything to do with law enforcement in the state of Louisiana. If you deviate from post council, you got problems. I contacted RMI, which is our insurance carrier. They explained to me the same scenario. If you deviate from post council, we got problems. So the letter outlines the situation we're in. The letter outlines the situation we've been in. And I am recommending that we terminate this officer from employment. Actually, that has already taken place. So I'm asking for your ratification on it. That's it.
Okay. Before we entertain that recommendation, Gil, you've received a letter and you realize that your personnel record may be discussed in public unless you request going into executive session. Would you prefer?
Okay.
All right. Okay, with that, there's a recommendation from the chief.
As pertaining to my being...
Yeah, your personnel record. Yeah, okay.
Do you want me to read this letter into the record for the public?
It's up to the council, it's their decision.
I mean, you guys have to know when the public's aware of what's going on.
I think it should be read for purposes of...
Dear Officer Banda, upon the resignation of former police chief, he brought to my attention that you are neither basic post-certified nor firearms post-certified. Following further investigation and inquiries into the post-council, this information appears to be accurate. In your position as school resource officer, you're required to be both basic post-certified and firearm post-certified to carry a weapon. There are no other positions within this department currently available without these certifications. I also understand that you are not grandfathered in under Louisiana law regarding the requirements of post-certifications. As you are aware, last week, risk management put us on notice, and that was by letter, actually, that you are not covered under our liability policy should any incident arise out of your use of a firearm. While this situation is very difficult, I simply cannot allow you to continue in your present position as you are not qualified to do so under Louisiana law. Therefore, I have no other alternative than to recommend your termination from employment. You are to turn in all items issued to you by the police department, Sergeant Ned Robinson, by May 30th, 2014.
Okay. Thank you, Chief. Pleasure, Council. No motion, will you?
I think we've exhausted all our means. I mean, we tried, I'll speak for myself. I talked to Richie about any way around this. I just don't see any unless someone can come up with a way around it.
Before you vote, may I speak?
Yeah.
As many of you know, for many years I've been known throughout the community as a public speaker. However, I'm going to have to read this as it's quite emotional, for it affects not only my livelihood, but also the passion which I've had for the past 25 plus years, that being law enforcement. It was brought to this council in December 2008 as a recommendation from then Chief Jamie Whaley, the hiring of me for the position of school resource officer. After a brief discussion, a motion to accept Chief Whaley's recommendation was made by Councilmember Andre and seconded by Councilmember Bourgeois. A roll call vote was taken with the following results. Then Councilmember Rodri, yes. Then Councilmember Pedro, yes. Yes by Ms. Bourgeois, and yes by Mr. Andre, with no yeas, no nays, and none absent, thus reflecting in a unanimous vote for my hire. Since that, the hire hit in 2008, I have proven myself in various capacities. As my job is described to me as a school resource officer, I maintain a strong presence at both Brewley High School and Brewley Middle School, because at that time there was only one school resource officer, myself. I provided security at home and away sporting events. I made numerous arrests at both schools involving juvenile criminal actions. I provided mentorship to numerous students at the request of families, parents, faculty, school staff, and even at the request of some students themselves. While not working as a school resource officer during the summer, I also worked in the evidence room at the direction of then Chief Jamie Whaley, pulling old case files and connecting them to very old evidence. submitting necessary paperwork to the district attorney's office and to Judge Robert Free's office to have all the backlog evidence destroyed. Much of this evidence dated back to when Chief Burflap was chief. That evidence has been destroyed by a court order, by myself, and has freed up much needed room. Currently, there is much evidence in need of that attention to either be destroyed, properly tagged, properly stored, prior to moving into the new building. I've done various investigative work, resulting in various arrests, or even preventing future crimes. Due to the fact that I worked at both schools, I was appointed by Chief Whaley as a juvenile officer, and even assisted in the training of now Corporal Faulkner when he was hired. On May 13, 2014, I received a letter from Interim Chief Johnson stating, my job would be reclassified as administrative school resource officer, as I am not pro-certified. In that respect, I was to no longer carry a firearm and to refrain from carrying out any form of law enforcement activities. Additionally, the note from Interim Chief Johnson said, keep your head up. We will work through this issue. No further communication was had between two of us face to face. Richie also said he had spoken to Brewley High School Principal Walter Moyne, West Baton Rouge Parish School Board Superintendent David Carone, and no fewer than two of the current council members regarding this recommendation. And according to Interim Chief Johnson, no one had a problem with the reclassification of my job description. In fact, I was told by Chief Johnson, they said, do whatever it takes to keep Gil employed. On May 27th, 2 weeks later, I received a sealed envelope from Gail Alamo, the Brewley Police Department Secretary, with an enclosed letter from Chief Johnson stating he was recommending my termination because I was not post-certified, and he had no other position available for me within the department. Additionally, he stated that Sergeant Robinson would be in charge of my, then Sergeant Robinson, would be in charge of me turning my Brewley Police Department in, and it must be do so by Friday the 30th. 3 days. Interim Chief Johnson did not even afford me the courtesy of telling me himself. Interim Chief Johnson never gave me any reason to think my job as a whole was in jeopardy. In fact, quite the contrary. He made me feel he had deep compassion for my situation and would make every effort to keep me employed with the Brewley Police Department in any capacity he could. Upon my hire in 2008, no post requirements were brought to my attention, nor did this council or the council then address or question such issues. I have been doing this job for long over 5 years with no complaints until Interim Chief Johnson takes office. Additionally, I do not have now, nor have I ever had, been given a copy of the Baton Rouge Police Department job description for a school resource officer, and have never been issued a standard operating procedure for the police department. While I am willing to accept the findings of the current post-certification board, as well as this council, if legally bound to, I will say I am extremely, extremely disappointed and saddened how my future with the Brewley Police Department has been handled under these circumstances. Interim Chief Johnson's position is temporary. However, my termination as school resource officer, for all intents and purposes, is permanent. The bottom line is Interim Chief Johnson previously stated to me his willingness to work through this situation. Keep your head up. We will work through this, which does not appear evident by the request made on his behalf before you today. I'm asking the council to recognize that I have provided value to the Brewer Police Department and can continue to do such. If not only until my appeal process has been reviewed and decided upon by the post council, which I have respectfully submitted. Regardless of the council's decision, I want you, each and every one of you, to know this. I have learned how to be happy because I wake up every morning and make a decision to be in a good mood. Life has dealt me far worse adversities than I'm currently going through, and I've always managed to pick myself up and continue to move forward. Because I have learned one thing. God gives his hardest battles to his strongest soldiers. I also have with me during my tenure, Brewer police officer, albeit I am not post certified, I have participated in the mandatory annual firearms qualifications, which were conducted by Assistant Chief David Jones. Here are my scores. I'd like to submit these to the council and the mayor, and if there's not enough, and to the town attorney. My scoring, that my qualifying scores. Scott, may I look at this one? So I can put it on record. This is a letter from Assistant Chief David Jones. This is to certify that the following firearm score were fired by Officer Gil Banton on the below listed dates. Officer Banton has shown a satisfactory level of proficiency with a Glock 40 caliber pistol that is similar to the standard set by Louisiana Post Council, but is not considered post qualified by law due to his inability to meet specific area of prescribed course. 6 of 2010, I scored a 110 out of 120. Minimum qualifying score is a 92. 5 of 2011, I scored a 109 out of 120. 6 of 2012, I scored a 112 out of 120. 4 of 2013, I shot a 110 out of 120. 5 of 2014, I shot a 118 out of 120. Post-certified? Perhaps not. Qualified? Beyond a shadow of a doubt. Additionally, I have a letter here from Principal Walt Lemoyne. I'd like to submit to the council members, the mayor, and the town attorney. I have one I'll be glad to give you once I'm done with. From the desk of Walt Lemoyne, to whom it may concern, as principal of Brewley High School, I've had the privilege of working with Gil Banner the past 5 years. When Gil was assigned as school resource officer for Brewley High School, there was some apprehension on if he would be able to handle the job of SRO for our high school. Well, for one thing, he has certainly brought stability to the position. He has been able to handle the physical part of the job as well as having a rapport with the students and faculty of handling situations as they arose. He was trusted with the information with people deemed as confidential, yet he took care of matters that needed attention. He also had a knack for separating school situations from police matters and keeping the safety of everyone involved at the center of his decisions. I'm disappointed that Gil's tenure had to end, and I know that we will get a new resource officer But I know Gil will be missed on the campus of Brule High School, and we wish him the best. I just want to close by saying that in the letter that Interim Chief Johnson submitted before you all, saying that there was no position for me within his department. Well, that may be by choice, and which is a choice that he is free to make. However, if he chooses so, there is a position. Because right now there is an open position on the railroad. Since my departure, he has taken the liberty to promote two officers to the rank of lieutenant and two other officers to the rank of corporal. So essentially what you have is a chief, an assistant chief, two lieutenants, and two corporals, and one officer. Why can you take one of the lieutenants who is in the office now, who is post-certified, put that officer on the road and put me in the town hall doing what that lieutenant is now doing, who doesn't need to be post-certified? There is a position that is available if he chooses to make such a move. Again, that is his call as a chief, as interim chief. It just saddened to me that the road that this has gone down, and to the extent that it has come to, it did not need to come to this extent. I am merely an employee who worked at the behest of my chief, did what I was told. Do y'all have any questions for me? I would be glad to entertain any questions from the council, the mayor, the chief,
Parliament. Does the council have any questions? Because I have a few. Go ahead.
I don't have a question. Just for the record, I would like to mention that the letter from Assistant Chief David Jones is the Assistant Chief of Addis. Just for clarification.
But he qualifies us on our firearms each year.
I just want that for the record. It was not the Brule Assistant Chief.
I didn't mean to make that assumption. I'm sorry.
From a historical point of view.
Yeah, go ahead and make a point about that issue you brought up. Because I don't know if we've discussed this letter that Gil brought up, but the letter we're talking about from David Jones, actually, if you read the wording, just don't be confused about wording when it comes to law enforcement, believe. The issue here is qualification. David is doing a proficiency test because that's all he can do, okay? And that's what the letter was about. But so post-certified, no, absolutely not, just to be clear, or we wouldn't be here. The letter that I did not discuss with Gil brought up was a May 13th letter that I sent to Gil, which was trying to put a Band-Aid on a pipe that had exploded basically the day before by RMI saying it wouldn't cover it on insurance. Not only would they not cover it, they would have never covered it. It's new to me. So the letter on the 13th, if I may read it just to put some clarification. Officer Gil Banner, pursuant to our conversation, effective immediately, you are to refrain from exercising any form of law enforcement related duties. You can continue to report to Brule High School as a SRO in administrative capacity only, no weapons. The last official day of the 2013-2014 school year is Friday, May 23rd, 2014. Signed by me. Keep your head up. We will work through this issue. Just to be real clear, this was not me creating some special thing for anybody. This is old hell. We got a problem. And maybe we can work through this by post and RMI. Obviously, 2 weeks later, we could not bring that to something we could work through. And that was the letter, just to be real clear. And I think I may have given y'all a copy last week on it, but that's
I have copies if y'all like it. Mr. Mayor, you have a couple questions?
Yeah. In December 2008, when you were hired, this year, right?
Yes.
Do you remember Ms. Bourgeois making a comment that, asking a rhetorical question to Jamie, is he going to get all the required qualifications and all that? And the answer was, yes. You don't remember that?
I do not, no, I do not.
Well, she was, we were all led to believe that there was more to come. You know, I mean, she didn't use the acronym POST, but all of officers are POST qualified. Okay. When did you first become aware that you needed to be post-certified to be a SRO?
When Chief Johnson brought it to my attention.
But you did not know from the time you were hired until then that one of the qualifications for SRO is post-certified? You did not know?
It was my understanding that I was grandfathered in.
Okay.
Which I have since learned different because of Chief Johnson's investigation.
What led you to believe you were grandfathered in?
Because of my tenure in law enforcement.
I mean, did you call post? Did you know anybody who'd ever been grandfathered in? Did you look into the situation at all yourself?
No, myself. In hindsight, should I have been more proactive? Yes, absolutely. Had I known it would have come to this, I make no bones about that. Absolutely not.
By what I want to say.
By not taking a more initiative on my standpoint.
Okay. All right. You said earlier that you did not read the police department SOP or you didn't have it made available to you recently or something to that effect, right?
No.
Never? Okay.
Still haven't.
But we do have in your file a signed piece of paper that said you read the town ordinances, the town's employee manual, which includes the ordinances. I mean, the parts of the personnel ordinance. You read that, right?
Personnel ordinances?
Yeah, the ordinance. The personnel.
It's in my file, and it's my signatures on it. I won't deny it.
All right. In the ordinances, and has been in there for a long time, and also in the employee manual, which was developed many years ago, there's a discussion in there about comp time.
Right.
Okay. When you were hired in December of 2008, you remember being hired as a salary employee?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are you now aware, or were you aware then, that during your whole tenure that you were a salary employee?
Yes, I'm aware. I've always been aware.
And you are aware in the ordinances that salaried employees do not get comp time?
No, I was not aware of that.
Well, you read the employee manual, and it has that clearly in there.
I signed it, but I probably didn't read it.
So you worked 815 hours of comp time, and I'm sorry, you worked 763 hours of comp time and took off 815, which means that you took off 52 more than you worked, according to the timesheets we added up ourselves. So out of all of those time, you thought that you were entitled to comp time?
I was told I was entitled to comp time, yes, sir.
Who told you that?
Former Chief Whitt.
Why would he tell you that? If you thought you were already entitled to it, just put it down on the sheet.
I did put it down on the sheet.
No, you said he told you that. Why would that discussion even come up?
Because it came up to the discussion about me working football games, basketball games, baseball games. He said, put in comp time. You're a salaried employee. You don't get paid.
Oh,
you don't get paid overtime. You get paid time and a half comp time is what I was told.
Okay. But you didn't have it down as comp time. You have it as
comp time earned.
Not. What is it called? Something.
No overtime paid.
What does that mean? Overtime not paid.
Right.
Okay. All right. In your tenure as a school resource officer, you are aware that is the school board's policy and also the town's. Reinforcing that policy by paying half of the salary, that zone jumpers are something that we the town have taken a big effort to prevent.
Very much aware of something.
Have you ever turned one into Charlotte Blanchard?
To show? No.
Why not?
Because I turned them into Chief and I turned some into you. At your request?
You didn't turn anything to me. None. Zero.
Mayor, you've never asked me to run license plates?
Oh, I've asked you a lot, yeah.
You've never asked me to run license plates?
No, I asked you to run some license plates and stuff, but you've never turned anybody in and said this is a zone jump or you did a job.
I beg to differ.
Okay, good. Well, you can tell me the names of those who lived off lot, and I'll apologize publicly if you were front on every, because they went straight to Charlotte after that. Have you ever received from or purchased from former Chief Whaley any ammunition for a gun that is not the caliber that we have in town?
No.
No?
For myself?
Yeah, for yourself.
No.
Okay. Did the town ever issue you a frog tog camouflage suit?
Issued me a frog tog suit?
Camouflage top and bottom suit. Because the chief of police had put on one of his notes of one of his purchases that it was for you and two other officers by name.
Right, it was.
Have you returned that?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever received a performance reviews from the chief of police?
No.
So those are also required by ordinance, and not you. You're not required to do them. He's required to do them with you, but so there's no documentation of your performance one way or the other, really. I mean, in the chief.
You asked me or telling me?
No, in the chief. In the well, you told me you have never gotten one. So really, as a result, there's no documentation of your performance in the records of the police department since you never got one. You know if you got one.
I've never got one, but may I ask you a question in that regard? Have you ever received anything to the contrary about whether or not my performance was poor or otherwise?
Have I ever seen
it? Yes, sir.
Listen, this is a Larson Act community. We have an elected chief of police. Trust me on that, okay? I don't have anything to do with the police department's performance other than communicate to the chief of police some of the things and some of my thoughts, which go as far as the chief of police decides for them to go. So, if I told him, I have no idea whether it ever got to you or not, but I don't go around and tell police officers I don't think you're doing this right or that right. I just don't try not to do that.
Okay.
And, that's all right. Okay. What is the wishes of council?
I just want to say this is not about you personally. When we get sworn in, we have to take a solemn oath that we will uphold the laws of the United States of America, of the state of Louisiana, and the town of Brule. And post is one of the laws, Bill. This is not about you as a person. We've had to make some tough decisions about other police officers because of post requirements. It is not about you as a person. It is not about what you have done and brought to those students and that school community. We have that responsibility. And if we get word officially that you cannot be insured, that's a responsibility of the college.
I completely understand that. But if the chief was so choose to put me in the town hall to go through that evidence, like I said, until I get my results back from my appeal from post, which I've already submitted, and he suggested it, there's work to be done in that police department. And I can still be a valuable asset to that police department without carrying a firearm, without making arrests.
I'll just try to simplify this for y'all if I can. I'm not saying anything everybody doesn't know or everybody's thinking and scared to say or whatever. This is a mismanagement issue. This happened back when Gil was hired. Was it Gil's fault? I don't know. That's between Gil and Jamie. Was it Jamie's fault? My friend, the former chief? Yes. Yes. So this is not a Gil issue. I don't know what Gil, I don't know what his involvement was with Jamie. What Jamie told me on his way out was he and Gil knew this was coming. I can't prove that. I don't know if that's true. I'm relaying to you what he told me. What I do know is that what I do know is Jamie, and he says Gil with him, that they checked all of this information out that I checked out, and that they got the same answer I got. They just got to a different conclusion than me. Now, I don't know how that's possible because the law is very clear. And while I am very clear about it, I cannot be part of mismanagement and create a special position for anybody. And I will not be part of that. I don't care if it's my own son who's in a wheelchair. It's not going to happen. So I was dealt this hand, I'm sharing it with you guys.
Okay.
Anybody else have any questions or discussion?
My major concern is a liability issue. We've got to have liability.
I think we might have two separate things going here. I think, from what I see, the school resource officer has to be post-certified. Gil's not post-certified. Keeping Gil on is a whole different issue. The bottom line is, we have someone that's not post-certified and serving a position that needs to change.
The bottom line is, you have 12 months by law. With a written request, you can get a six-month extension under certain population size. So you have 18 months old by law. When you hire a full-time officer, he has got to get post-certified.
Right. So the issue of the school resource officer in Gil's position, in my opinion, is what Gil's talking about is keeping a job with the police department. The school resource officer, in my opinion, is black and white. Gil can't do that job.
I agree with you.
Okay. Unless we get some appeal and he's grandfathered in, or risk management sends another letter saying he's covered, I don't see that happening. I could be wrong. I hope I am. But I think we have two separate issues, and the issue that's on the table is, can Gil be the school resource officer hired, paid in half by the town? My answer is no.
No.
Because it's illegal.
Well, my recommendation is no, because it's illegal.
So,
and it should have always been no by whoever sat in this position.
Right. The second part of whether we have a position for Gil in the administrative piece, I don't know if that's on the table today. That's between the chief and Gil, and if they work that out down the road, he can come to the council.
Well, it's really not, Scott, but all honesty, with everybody in this room, it's really not between Gil and I.
It's your decision.
No, what I'm saying is, I came in here with the understanding that I would bring some transparency to the department, some credibility to the department, and not follow what was going on before. And to create a position would be following what was going on before, in my opinion. So it's really not between Gil and I. It's truly not. I was dealt this hand along with a couple other hands, but that's the thing with the department. I have no choice.
I agree with you.
And I don't think y'all have a choice.
We don't. It sounds black and white right now.
Now,
once again, if the whole situation down the road...
If somebody stopped me, I thought Gil had been hired by another agency. Maybe I got some bad information, but again, that's not, like, not my business, I guess.
I think the issue at hand, and what's on the table today, is the school resource officer issue, and we need to go ahead and make a determination on that situation.
It'd be real easy for me to cruise on through to November and let things leave like they are. That's not what you brought me here for.
No, sir, it's not.
If it was, I need to leave. You know,
well, the recommendation is termination of the employment. That's what we're considering.
Okay. All right. Any further discussion?
Do that.
All right. Need a motion of some sort, either confirm or to deny the chief's recommendation.
I move we accept the chief's recommendation.
I second.
Ms. Miso, second. Mr. Richard. Okay. Is there any comments from the audience? Any comments, any discussion from the audience?
I have one question.
Yes, sir.
Will he have to hire another man to replace him? Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, sir. We probably won't look at that until midsummer, honestly. We have a lot of other things going on right now, and it's not a pressing issue to come next week and try to hire somebody for the position. But
school doesn't start till mid-August anyway.
Yeah. But I still can't see why we can't move a man like he suggested and keep the man in the office who gave us service for all these years.
But my man in the office he's referring to is a post-certified officer who covers shift. There's no one there in this department. I cannot have someone in my department who can't cover a shift. In your department, not mine, who can't cover a shift. I got to have these guys able to move around. And this guy While he will, he sits in the office only, he covers shifts, he posts, he does anything, any other, so a lieutenant doesn't mean anything here, it really doesn't. Assistant chief doesn't mean, he's out there working shifts too. So everybody is doing, you know, my highest guy can do the lowest guy can do the highest guy, that's what I'm...
So everybody in our department, you say it's our department, has to be certified?
Absolutely, by law.
Except the secretary.
The only exception is...
Except the secretary.
Except the secretary. The only exception is a reserve officer or a part-time officer, they still have to certify on their weapon, certify with the, they have to take the matrix psychological exam. The only thing they don't have to do is go and take the basic post course, but they still have to certify with a weapon. So unless the town just wants another secretary, I mean, there's just no...
I just want to understand.
It wasn't a hasty decision, I mean, it was, you know, it's the law, it's what it is. So, I mean, we're kind of stuck where we are with that. But we will have to replace it.
I think what he may have been referring to was the summer. I mean, the new school year, like you said, doesn't start till August. If he had something that you could have him do, non-post certified between now and then, you might have time to hear from the post.
And I have nothing, we're not hiring anybody tomorrow on this. I mean, that's, you know...
Are you answering?
We're still in comments from the audience. We're still in there. Okay.
So, may I...
You're in the audience.
Take to get these results.
Well, I can tell you this from experience, the post council meets, I think...
September 22nd.
So...
That's when you should have your result?
Oh, I may have my answer before then. They may send me a letter of denial tomorrow. But they only meet, what's it, a quarterly, Richie?
My understanding is quarterly, and please, again, don't think that I didn't inquire about...
September 22nd.
If Gil and I get on top of state capital together in bed, what are our chances that this would be granted? And I assume he probably has his due. Has it ever happened before? Have y'all ever granted an exception? Because what you would be, and this is their words, what you would be asking for is a exception to the firearms qualification, a modification of firearms qualification. So I asked, what are the chances? What are we looking at? They said, we have never granted an exception to, the post council has never granted an exception to firearms qualification due to safety concerns. Now, that's not my words, you may have asked them, did they tell you that?
Exactly.
Now, I don't take never as never, make you tell me no if I'm Gil, and I encourage them to go and get that waiver if possible. But I'm a realist, and I did ask the question, I'd be an idiot not to. So, again, I'm not looking to replace this position till we have to, till we get, we've had several applications, and we haven't told anyone that we're looking for somebody. There are applications, there are people who are SRO certified, could hire them tomorrow. I'm not looking to replace that position right now. And can Gil come back and reapply if he can get that thing done? Why can't he not? That's my whole point.
Because then a position would not be available.
You're assuming that, yeah. But again, I'm trying to move forward and say, to protect the town, which is what I'm trying to accomplish, this should have never, we should not be having this conversation. And that is not, I'm not blaming that on Gil alone, we should not be having this conversation. Just for the record, I have no issue with your job performance. Okay, I haven't been here as chief to go out to the school and, or do an annual review on him like we did when I was here on every officer, including myself and the chief, everybody. So my issue with Gil has nothing to do with his job performance, for the record.
But you were able to speak to Coach Lamore and Mr. David Corona?
Absolutely. And I told you that, and I told all of you guys that. And I've stayed in touch with those two. Absolutely, this affects everybody. This affects the entire school, as far as I'm concerned.
It affects the entire community, it affects the entire town of Brule, but most importantly, it affects me.
Well, and you might see that differently, because to me, everybody's important in this situation. Just like you think, I don't care about you, said you wrong, I'm not...
All right, that's, no, we don't got that. We don't have to change this. Anybody have any individual comments they'd like to make?
One question, please.
Well, if you ask, Okay, ask a question, we'll see. Because I don't allow crosstalk, you know.
No.
Go ahead.
If Chief Johnson were to come in front of the town council and recommend a position for Gil to finish up the evidence that exists over there, get it straight, get it logged, and get it all weeded out, sorted, put in place, whether it be tagged, bagged, destroyed, whatever the case may be, before it was moved into the new police station. How would the town council feel about that?
I won't be making that recommendation.
I would caution the council not to set themselves up by making some kind of a quasi promise. That would be a bad policy. Okay? All right. Anybody else in the audience? Still audience? Okay, hearing no more, then I'll turn it over to council for consideration for further discussion. And as a motion and a second on the floor. Any further discussion from the council? Anyone? Hearing none, roll call vote, please. Yes means in favor of the motion, which is accepting the chief's recommendation, and no means against the chief's recommendation.
Councilmember Richard.
Yes.
Councilmember Andre.
Yes.
Councilmember Bourgeois.
Yes.
Councilmember Neeson.
Yes.
Councilmember Rose.
Yes.
All right. Next item on the agenda is consider declaring duty weapons surplus for exchange program.
Chief, if you take the microphone, I think the council might need to be reminded about the exchange program.
This is something you guys actually, one of the deputies already allocated and voted on. This was never done.
Here, y'all need to go back to the council.
This is a program that Glock has. Glock is the weapon, most of the weapons that we own, I think we own. Glock has a law enforcement program where you can take the old Glock weapons that were issued to officers and you can swap them back into Glock through a third party, which would be Barney, whoever, one of the police gun companies, doesn't matter, any police, by the way. And for $100 plus the gun, you can get a brand new, what's called a fourth generation, now it's fourth generation Glock, so it's a more modern weapon, zero rounds fired through it, brand new in the box. There were a couple of quotes on the chief's desk when I came in office. One was really high. I thought it was with night sights and all of it. You're not shooting anybody with night sights. I promise you're not going to be worried about night sights when you have to get the shooting. So if you do the basic trade-in with what we have, we actually have, if you read the letter, I'll read it just real quick. These are the weapons that I'm requesting a surplus to swap out with the Glock swap out program. We have a total of 17 Glocks that we can put our hands on that we found. We have 14 Model 22s, which is a standard duty weapon for an officer. It's a full size, nothing special, not the big one, not the little one, not the, it's what every officer should carry. We have two Model 27s, which are these little Glocks that nobody should carry, probably. And the problem when you start mixing weapons like this is they sound like they're all the same, but they're not. So the smaller Glocks won't accept the larger Glocks won't accept the smaller Glock magazine. This is an issue from a survival standpoint. If you have multiple officers working together or in the same vehicle working, and something happens, hey, throw me one of your magazines, guess what? Sorry, but it won't fit. Yeah, that's just crazy. We should have all the same weapons. The chief shouldn't have something special, you know. This is Model 35. That's actually a competition firearm. I have no idea why we had an officer carrying that. So the serial numbers are listed, and to be specific about what we're asking you to surplus, so we don't come up later and someone say, well, we don't know if you surplus that weapon or not. The serial numbers are there. That's specifically the weapon we're asking to surplus. And that is, for your information, every Glock that we have. We're not holding out some Glock to the side to do something else with. That's every Glock. For your information, we have one Glock pistol, Model 22, that was reported stolen by a former reserve officer. This officer has been out of reserve for approximately 2 years. That report was made like the day I took office, which is, that situation has been investigated and determined by Inspector General's office. One Glock model, .22 pistol that is not accounted for at all, which we believe is never turned in, that has been investigated by the Inspector General's office. And one additional missing Mossberg shotgun. Nothing to do with the swap or trade-in, but I want you to be aware that we have some guns that are not accounted for, just in case there's some issue. That has been investigated by the Inspector General's office currently also. We have an additional 7 departmental issued firearms that were never declared surplus, but abandoned in the hands of the general public. They're listed in that column along with their serial numbers. That is for informational purposes. That has been investigated by the Inspector General's office also. We have recovered two of the 7 weapons and are in the process of trying to recover the remaining weapons at this time. We've identified who they were sold to and we're in the process of trying to get them back. Anyway, with that being said, Barney's, which is who y'all already got the quote from, it's not a lot of people, but $1,769. I think, Debbie, how much did y'all budget for it? More than that. 2,500 or something, 2,600 or something. Yeah, so I mean, basically, you guys already, I think, voted to do this. What you have not voted to do was to declare these specific weapons surplus, and I don't feel comfortable swapping them to Glock until they are declared surplus. I will tell you, one of these weapons will not fire for some reason. They've had some issues with it at the firing range, and it got mixed in with other issued weapons, and that kind of scared the crap out of me, to be honest with you. If you have an officer, we don't know which. They didn't take it out of service like they should have. So it's one of the weapons. I think now we have it identified, just to be clear. But so when we swap that in, of course, we will make it known to them that there's a discharge issue with that weapon so they don't sell it to somebody and get somebody hurt. So anyway.
So the list that you, the ones that you want declared surplus are these?
No, sir, I'm sorry. These right here.
The second paragraph.
All right, that's 17 weapons.
Okay, so that, yeah, okay, 17.
And I can read them for the record.
No. Okay, 17.
Could we enter those in the minutes for the record so that we'll have that historical record of that?
Do that, Patricia. She doesn't mean minutes. What?
Yeah, she needs it.
And I will tell you, a lot of those weapons, some of those weapons were here when I was here 10 years ago because I had Brulee PD engraved on the side of them, which for the record, I will do with the new one. And if you have anybody comes to you after me and says, well, if you're doing narcotics work, you don't want to dope deal the city brewery PD on the side of the gun. That's all crap. That's on TV and all that other stuff. But there's no reason that you should not, A, have the serial numbers recorded here at the town hall in case a gun gets stolen. And there's no reason that you should not engrave the PD's name on the side of it. It might stop an officer wanting to take it home. And that's free of charge. We had that done last time, and no reason we can't do it again. So some of those weapons are over 12 years old. So
how many of the 17 new weapons would be issued, and then how many would be
in? Well, as you guys know, with what I'm trying to restructure, we have 8 full-time personnel. We have 4 part-time paid now. We have 5. And we have the reserve program has been temporarily suspended because of some issues. And that I want to keep it 4. So you're talking, 16? 16, it gives you a spare in case you have to swap a weapon out, basically. Well, anything, in case, it's a good idea to have a spare weapon. So roughly that, and I can tell you if I had all 19, I would swap them all, but we don't have 19. I'll swap them with extra magazines or whatever. They come with 3 magazines. And this price is reflected, basically they want a gun and 3 magazines for a gun and 3 magazines. We don't have all the magazines. So what they basically agreed to do was they gave us a price based on we don't have all 3 magazines. We don't have 3 magazines for each weapon. So that price, what I asked them to do was give me the price that I don't have to come back to you and say, well, we need some more. And that's why we stay away from the night sights also. They said, look, there's 3 of our guns that have night sights and they give you a little more money. But the problem is if I say, hey, Barney's, here's the 3 guns with night sights, and they say, hey, Mr. Johnson, they're not so bright, because they do fade over time, then we're coming back to the council and ask for more money. So I don't want night sights on any of the weapons at this point.
Okay, we have a recommendation from the chief to surplus
the list that I just gave to Debbie, that, do I hear a motion?
Vote this?
Yeah, yes, declare everything you get rid of, you declare it surplus, it either goes to auction, or it goes to sales, or this thing.
Yeah, you can't get rid of town property.
Can't get rid of a pencil without having it surplus. Anyway.
I so move.
Move by Ms. Blue Bloom.
I second.
Second, Mr. Geisler. Any comments from the audience? Any further discussion from the council? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Okay, third item in police is consider authorizing mayor to sign an engagement letter with Baxter and Associates for police audit. Council members have had the, they had the original, and then comments made, and they redid the engagement letter, and I sent it to council members, and I'm hoping it satisfies.
All three items that we discussed are in the engagement.
Yep, so with that, if there's a, somebody like to make a motion or discussion or whatever.
I'll make the motion.
Mr. Rhodes.
Second.
Second, Mr. Andre. Any discussion from the audience? Any comments from the audience? Hearing none, any further discussion from the council? Roll call vote.
Councilmember Andre.
Yes.
Councilmember Bujwa.
Yes.
Councilmember Geisler.
Yes.
Councilmember Rhodes.
Yes.
Councilmember Richard.
Yes.
Okay, governmental affairs, I'm not aware of anything. No vetoed ordinances. Item seven, hearing and final action ordinances, general fund budget. I've got a couple of comments. Since we met the other day, we realized that the left-hand column that said 13-14 budget, the numbers that were in there were the, what we started the year with, and we had a budget adjustment since then. So we just went ahead and changed the numbers, even though I put a box around. They don't have any effect whatsoever on the budget that's coming up. It's just a, they just put the adjusted number. And also, under maintenance, the item that's got a box around it was $59,000, $39,000. That's reflected the much better price we got on the concrete apron around that y'all passed that change order earlier today. And then these numbers, this number is a function of everything else, so that's why it changed. But it's only a $20,000 difference. So with that, everything else is intact as discussed last week, so I'll offer it to the council for consideration. Or discussion, all vote. And if we don't pass the budget, we'll have to go over 50% and that's 6 months from now. I'm just doing my job.
Even Aaron knows anything.
So I'm looking at you. You need another one of those. What do you want to know?
Really good jobs.
We can write the same article.
You know, they have fine and change, you know, fine $4 change to really hard.
I so move.
Move by Ms. Bujwa.
Second.
Second, Mr. Andre. Any comments from the audience? This is the town operating budget. Any comments from the audience? Oh, yes, indeed. Thank you very much. I want to open a public hearing. It is an order. My bad. Always forget that. The public hearing is open. Here, any comments from the public? Hearing none, I'm closing the public hearing and give the motion on second. No, we already got a motion.
Yeah.
Okay, my bad. All right. Any further discussion? Roll call vote.
Councilmember Bujwa.
Yes.
Councilmember Geisler.
Yes.
Councilmember Rhodes.
Yes.
Councilmember Richard.
Yes.
Councilmember Andre.
Yes.
Next item is ordinance five is 2014-15 sewer budget. Basically, same comment except that we don't have any changes from what we discussed last week. It's all intact the way it was, so I'll turn it over to council. Well, let me do the public hearing first. I'll open the public hearing for ordinance 5 of 2014, the 14th sewer budget. Any comments from the audience? No comments from the audience. Close the public hearing. And council, what's your wishes?
I'm going to approve.
Mr. Rhodes?
Second.
Second, Mr. Richard. Any further discussion from the council? Hearing none, roll call vote.
Councilmember Geisler.
Yes.
Councilmember Rhodes?
Yes.
Councilmember Richard?
Yes.
Councilmember Andre?
Yes.
Councilmember Louis Blanc?
Yes.
Item 8A is ordinance of blank 2014, chapter 22, nuisances. Would someone please introduce that? We talked about it a little bit last week, and it's a change of responsibility.
Change it.
Change for the mayor. All right, it's been introduced by Chairman, Councilmember Richard. Next item is resolution accommodations, we have none. Next is the car reports, fire department chief.
What was the month of May? First day of calls inside the town, we had nine. Outside the town, we had 12. We had two lift assistants. Fire calls inside the town, we had none, and outside, we had none. We had two activated fire alarms, two reported fires that we got canceled in Rogers, another alarm, two more alarms. We had an electrical transformer for energy in that substation in Clark Park, back at Fanco. We had three motor vehicle crashes. We had one mutual aid report out on a grass fire across LA-1 behind Polar Industries, Hayfield on Park. We had a total of 32 calls for the month, and so far for the year, we had 133.
Okay.
Thank you.
One more thing to bring up. We had our rating, and we got our results in, and we're still a class 3 as we work. Thanks to all the work from the volunteers and the paid staff and whatever the council has done over the years to help us maintain that rating, so we're still in good shape.
And Mike and I had a brief discussion, the audit this year is going to be done by sub-districts, being in June, like fiscal year, but next year, the audit will be done by whatever big project.
Yeah, because our new budget's going to start July 1st. So we will get the same thing for you guys.
I have a question too, you might not know it. When we put this new district in, or when the parish puts a new district in, will we be rated based on sub-districts again, still?
Yeah.
Will not be rated as a parish?
For right now, nothing changes. For the rest of this year, probably all of next year. Rating-wise, we're taking the entire parish, and we're going to continue doing our sub-districts. And what we're looking at is when we combine, we're going to go from 6 to 3. So when you combine, let's say, Brule and Addis together, if we rate together, will it be in favor of us? Will we lose any, will we gain any, and vice versa with them? If we're going to, if everybody's going to gain at one, or stay the same, if people are going to lose, then we're going to have to be rated separately. But to answer your question, the town and what's currently my sub-district will be rated the same as we always did.
Then that changes the boundaries until it's more to do that.
Yeah.
Same thing.
How often does the rating occur?
Every 5 years.
5 years. So this is good for 5 years?
Good for 5 years.
And we're right in the middle, we're solidly in the middle, so we don't really want to pay the money to go get better, and we don't want to do anything about it, but we good.
If you remember right, in our last sub-district meeting, one of the things that took place was we had a fire truck in a shop. We didn't get credit for it, even not even, for not even having the truck in town, we still maintain the class.
Appreciate it, thank you.
Good job, congratulations, chief.
Very good. Pass along to all the troops. Police department report.
I'd like to re-urge the motion to make the fire chief keep coming to meet.
I'm working on it.
For the month of May, we had 12 crashes, 6 bench warrants, 6 bench warrant arrests, 1 damage to property, which I think that should be 2, because it's actually the same house down by you, had 2, on 2 times, they had a brick thrown through the back window of the daughter's car. I talked to mom, I think it's an ex-boyfriend situation. Anyway, 4 disturbed the peace, I think 2 of them were at the town hall, right in the parking lot. They were not council members. Yes.
Wouldn't be, I wouldn't do it.
It wasn't a mayor. Six of law, three business, three residential, three juvenile matters, four traffic arrests, 22 calls on Con Street, no, 22 miscellaneous calls, 58 total calls, 33 citations written, 48 violations, one repossession of a vehicle, six civil matters, one harassment, one open door, four complaints of four wheels on the street, shoplifting, improper telephone communication. If I was talking about four wheels.
Okay. I didn't get a call.
Was it Jamie? Was it Jamie?
No.
No, I know who.
He was on it.
Well, the mayor called one.
Oh, I called one. I was coming back from a boot camp, and right after me, that big rain, the day after me, that big rain. And boy, I saw that something go up the bank like that and make ruts in the bank. I said, man, I stopped.
Executive.
It was hollering and all that.
Executive.
And I went to, and Anton was sitting there like, watch it. I said, who was that? He told me who it was. I'm not going to say publicly. I went to the house.
It was a juvenile.
And I said, to a little kid, I said, is your daddy there? Yeah, one. So it's another kid, wasn't one riding. Well, just when I was getting his daddy, he was going to get his daddy, up drives the four wheel into the back seat. I had his mama came out and said, come with me. We went back there and I said, where you been? I didn't do it. I said, what you didn't do? I said, you know, I was mad. And I told him, and I basically, his daddy said, he will not go in that canal again, ever, in that pond.
Now we got to get the mayor full certified.
And then he said he's never going to ride on the street again, ever?
No.
I didn't ask that question.
It was best that I left it there. All right, that's okay. Next item is correspondence. I have one. I have a thank you note from the West Baton Rouge Foundation for academic excellence. Every year we budget to pay for one golf team to play, and they would send us a thank you note thanking us for doing that. Mayor's report. Some of these are the same things last week, but I attended the chamber monthly with Tom Shedler, the Secretary of State, and without going into details like I did last week. Louisiana is considered one of the best four states in the union for conducting elections. We do it better than a lot of places. It was shocking to me that in some states in the union, they actually allow the voting to be done per county. Whatever way the county wants to do it, that's how they do it. They might have one paper ballot in one machine, you know, smoke signals or whatever. It's mass confusion, but we're a leader in that. So it was very interesting. We had our first ever franchise fee payment, a small one, from AT&T for U-verse, which is the first time we've ever collected for U-verse, which is a competitor for Cox and all the other cable people. You will notice the flags are out. They will be out there until July 4th. But a good thing happened. A veteran came by the other day and asked me, he says, I see all our POW flags out there. He said, why can't we have Purple Heart flags? I said, I never heard of a Purple Heart flag. He said, well, I'll get you information. He brought me a little flyer, and we're gonna order some Purple Heart flags, and I'm gonna eventually get the staff to call each one of the people that signed up and find out if the veteran that they did it for was a Purple Heart, and didn't tell them about it. The historical marker is now installed at 166 North of Bogle. It's very nice. And if y'all notice how quickly we went through the budget this year, the real credit, no joking this time, the real credit goes to Debbie and the staff. I've been in this thing for 14 years and I did almost nothing. We sat down one day for maybe 15 minutes and I said, yeah, make this, no, yeah, yeah, and it was over with. I mean, she does. They do a wonderful job of getting everything together, and it sure is easy for me. And I know Richard thanked her last week. With him just coming in, it's a big help. So thanks, Barry, and thanks to anybody in the staff that helped you. Now, at the conclusion of remarks of personal privilege, I'm gonna have some pictures. I went out to California, Oregon, Washington, and stuff that has to do with town business. And so if you want to be bored, you can stay. But if you don't want to be bored, then
No.
No, you can't. All right, remarks of personal privilege. village anyway. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I went, just got back from the beach. You want my pictures up there?
It may have to do with town business yet.
Well, I do have something.
What?
Back in April or May, some of you may remember, some of you don't, when it was brought to the attention by me to the police department and to the council about mismanagement of that police department. And when Richie Johnson mentioned something today about 17 blocks that we have on hand and that we know of, okay, well, should the police department have serial numbers and inventory of everything that that was purchased?
Yes.
Okay, yes. So, how many guns are missing?
Not appropriate discussion.
Not appropriate. So, still missing.
Pending.
Investigation.
Thank you. Well, open investigation. Yeah. It's an open investigation.
No, as a layperson, what is open investigation?
Ongoing.
It's an ongoing investigation.
Investigation.
Well, it concerns me dearly that it took 5 years to come up with this thing.
That's why it's important for the town. With citizens to
but we will
have their eyes open when they elect.
Right. But each time we addressed it, even went to the building to look for stuff, lied to.
Yeah. Well, there's two things. First of all, the criminal investigation that they're referring to, plus the council also passed tonight the go ahead for the audit. And that's the part of the audit, one of the line items on the audit is things that were purchased and are they still here and are they not here? And you know, I mean, I'm kind of like generalizing.
Is it going to take 5 years?
One of them, no, they have to be generalized. No, we want to have all of it, everything identified so that the present police chief has time to fix those things before the new guy comes in November. And Rosa, frankly, there's two reasons. First of all, we don't know what's going on. But secondly, we don't want to have the next chief of police come in and every time something is not right, say, oh, that must have been when the other chief was in, when Jamie Whaley was in.
Right.
Get the excuses out of there. There's two reasons for doing it. We want to know the full story and we want to prevent excuses in the future. So they're going to be getting started in parallel with that. There's other people investigating criminal matters.
Well, I am so tired of trying to defend this council and the mayor for stuff for our poor little police chief because y'all have done him wrong.
And the new police chief?
No, I said the prior chief. Actually, it's what he has done to us.
Yeah.
As taxpayers.
Hey, you don't have to defend us. Ask him to come to the meeting.
Right. Yeah, but do you see anybody?
There you go.
Okay, but then
the empty drum makes the greatest sound.
Yeah.
If you ain't got nothing in the drum and you beat on it, it's loud. If it's full of substance, it don't make a sound.
Well, I asked a council member years and years ago, how can you let something like this happen? And I was told by a council member, because they can.
All you gotta do is come in the meeting and ask the question.
Yeah.
All you gotta do. How many people we got again?
You made an important point that I'd like to bring
up. You got to tell us about the fines.
You know, just like tonight when we declared weapons, certain weapons are just a small example, but they're pretty important. When you declare a surplus, you give serial numbers. You know, when I come back and say, hey, council, we got those 17 blocks in. By the way, here's the serial numbers to put in the record. Because the serial numbers are, it's easy to say how many guns are missing. We don't, you know. How many guns do you know about? How many guns do you not know about? It's a problem. The serial numbers on items are very important, in my opinion. And when you declare them surplus as a council, you need those serial numbers. I mean, what if Billy Bob gets stopped next week with a gun and it comes back to a brutally police, but it really was gotten rid of properly. But you know that when you go back and get serial numbers of what was transferred.
I mean, but in all hindsight, shouldn't all the police departments have serial numbers on record of what was bought?
We do. Let me tell you, we do. Yes, every police. I mean, you know what you buy, but can you go back and pull invoices from 15 years ago? That's why I had a conversation with you, and I know Joe and I have talked about it. You know, I don't know the answer of how to fix it. I got a suggestion. When annually, we should put our hands on big items, and not just an audit, just for, you know, pretty purpose. I mean, put your hands on, bring me this Glock, bring me this weapon. I want to see every weapon in my hand. And a prime example was, when I told the guys I need to know every serial number off of everybody's weapon and what type. Well, we ended up having an invoice for 17 Glock Model 22s are going to be swapped out. We don't
don't have 17 block miles. Matter of fact, may have never. My point is, some of the guys had different model numbers, but they just reported it as model 22. So you gotta put your hands on it, and your eyes on it, and write it down, and be able to go back to it. And I believe every term, even if a chief gets elected for 50 years, every, that's not just the police department, the maintenance, whoever. Every term, you gotta do some kind of real audit to, even if the same chief is, you know, what if the chief runs for 50 years, so he didn't get caught stealing? And then he dies, what? I mean, my point is, there's got, I don't know the answer, I'm sure the council's smarter than me, but there's a way that we've got to get a grip on it, and, you know, usually can do the firearms qualification at the sheriff's office. When you shoot, you have to put down on a piece of paper that goes to post the serial number of the weapon that you shot that day. Well, it would be easy to go get those records, but what Brule had done in the past, come to find out, is they didn't go through the sheriff's office always, they would go to different agencies, and not every agency had the same policy. So Brule needs to have its own policy. If a building by officer shoots qualification annually, there's a record of it. Why would you not keep that here? A, so you know what your guys are. What if someone comes in and says, hey, this guy didn't qualify? Here's a record, right? And this is not only did he qualify, this is what he shot as a score, and this is the gun he shot it with. Because that's important for liability purposes. I can't take your weapon and go shoot it and go take a different model number and go shoot it and be covered by liability insurance because I'm not familiar with that weapon. So that's something you can do internally, I think, and maybe the council can, you know, they get in a battle with Lawson Act. Can you make the chief, you know, I mean, I think you can make them account for weapons. I definitely think you can do that. Now, how, I don't know, maybe sound easier.
Well, the records need to be in more than one place also.
I mean, the chief can't pay for it out of town, write a check, I know that. So if I'm gonna write a check, it sounds easy. I'm sure it sounds easy, probably impossible. If I'm gonna write a check, the town's gonna write a check, I need to see some serial numbers. Mm-hmm. Now, can you make that happen? I don't know. I mean, they've been through
it. Can't imagine. All you can do is make them come to you to fires and fires, other than that, you can't do nothing. Elected chief of police, I'm telling you, it's just the way it is.
Management. Right. It's all down to management.
Yeah, right. Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, at one time they had a bunch of assault rifles. Do they still have them?
Tell me how long were you talking? Tell me.
This one been done, him and Worley's.
Yeah, okay. I don't want to cut y'all off, but one of the line items, we have a line item for the auditor to look at that says, purchases that were made that were $500 or more. Then we have a second line item that says all weapons. All weapons, regardless of what year, it could have been 1492. All weapons, to do an inventory of all weapons. So whether it's an assault rifle that was bought 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, all weapons. You know, whatever it is, if it's a pistol or whatever it is, all weapons. So we'll wait to see what the results of that are. Go ahead.
I have two things. The town had allocated funds in this year's budget for benches for Alexander Park, and those have arrived. The recreation department is assembling those.
What's the person?
And those are made out of recycled materials, so those should be up pretty soon. I'm not on vacation yet.
No, I just wanted to put it in. It's a remarkable personal privilege.
Okay, the other thing is, I attended the Memorial Day ceremony at the courthouse, and usually there are not many people there, so I'd like to get a reminder, maybe in April, so that we can put it on the May agendas about that ceremony.
I was surprised to see it on TV. I actually didn't even know it was happening.
Every year.
They usually invite me to the Veterans Day. I go every time.
Well, this is, you know, every year this is not well attended, but I think if we put a reminder and we put it on the agenda, that will, you know, get people to remember and attend.
Anybody else?
Yeah. We're co-hosting CRPC next month.
That's right.
All right, y'all ready to see the vacation stuff? This is on the Golden Gate Bridge, and that box there is a call box. They had 1,600 people jump off the Golden Gate Bridge and kill themselves, so they put a box on that little sign in blue right there that says, this is the number to call, the crisis number. They've had like 30 people jump off just this year. Can you imagine? I mean, they got some cycles. Next slide.
This is what a fire hydrant in California looks like. Excellent. This is a place that we were in Florence, Oregon, and they have little signs that says how far it is to every direction of Florence, Louisiana. I didn't know there was a Florence, Louisiana, but today it's Florence. This is a tsunami debris box. I wrote this for Mary Delapost, because she handles the Key West Baton Rouge. And I said, that'd be something to give the tsunami. And I'm going to tell you what, seriously, though, they have, you know, we have these hurricane evacuation routes when we go side. They have tsunami evacuation signs all over, evacuation routes, so they don't have as much time when the tsunami's coming. We have a hurricane. Next. This is a turbine blade for, they have hydropower. Next slide. This, what that is there, if you think these people ain't crazy, that's a stairway so that the salmon can go upstream.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they put that in because they put the power plant in. Next. This is a place that fish down at the bottom. They actually have a guy that's dead.
The water's not very clear, is it?
Yeah, they actually have a guy or a person that sits there all day and counts these fish. Just the water's going one way and they're going upstream to make sure that enough salmon are going upstream so the environmentalists are not mad at them.
And that was a job built for me.
This is a rain gauge. Look at this, 10 feet, 11 feet, 12 feet. In this area right here, they get 142 inches of rain a year. They were having a bad year, it was only up to 10 feet or something. Next. This is in Washington State. Marijuana is already illegal in... This is in Oregon. They're walking around, you know, they want to illegalize it in Oregon too. They will, it's going to pass. Next. This is a shop that they have. This is an entrepreneurial business in Oregon. That's a marijuana pipes, a drug pipes and all. This is a drug paraphernalia shop, perfectly legal there, right in the middle of a mall. Next. This is a yellow cab. It's a Prius. It's operated with electricity. That cab's even operated with electricity on that. Next. Now, I'm going to go on a rant. Does anybody know what this is?
Just because you told me that.
Yeah, well, don't tell them that. Y'all know what that is? That's a little thing. This is the most famous bridge in the United States of America, is the Golden Gate Bridge. What this thing is a little old pontoon that they stick in the road and move it up and down depending on the day, the time of day. They have a bridge just like us where they have one side of the bay is people live and another side of the bay people work. So people are pouring in from Sausalito during the morning and they pour it out during the afternoon. So they are not like us. They don't have this big old attenuator in the middle of the road. They take these little pontoons and they just move over and they have two lanes on one side and six on the other and vice versa. How in the world did they come up with that? We got this big old monument sticking in the middle of our bridge where we can only have certain little people on each side. I mean, these are environmentalists here. You don't have to have an environmental study to do this. You just have to have a brain. Now this is interesting. This is driving up to a ferry. Now this is next slide. This is entering the ferry. 250 calls. Next. This is the ferry itself. This is how big it's up here. It's three decks. Now, let me tell you the story of ferries in Seattle. What's the name of it? Bremerton? Bremerton's on the south shore of Biscayne Bay. It's a whole
Sound.
Yeah, Puget Sound, that's right. Puget Sound. And it's a long way from there to Seattle. So the fathers in Seattle got together and said, you know, we need a bridge. So we're going to build us a bridge. But they said, in the meantime, we're going to get some ferries, and we're going to ferry people back and forth. Now, each one of these ferries carries 250 cars, plus unlimited number of walkers. I mean, they have areas on both sides where, you know, with restaurants and everything else. These ferries leave on time, no matter what. If it said our ferry was at 3:50 in the afternoon, it was going to be 3:50. We got there at 3:51, it was leaving. The ferries were so successful that they decided, the people on both sides of the bank said, we don't want a bridge, we want ferries instead, because we know exactly what time we're going to get there, we know it takes 35 minutes to cross the bay, and we know exactly what time we're going to get on the other side.
No traffic.
They never have a traffic jam because they know exactly where they're going to be at all times. Okay. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, that bay is probably 50 times as wide as the Mississippi River, Now, we ain't got enough sense to put two big old ferries instead of little old bitty postage stamp ferries on each side of Mississippi River and run them on time. We ain't got enough sense to do that.
I think they're doing.
We talked to Jindal?
Huh?
You talked to Jindal?
No, I mean, I'm serious. We take this, we got these big old concrete attenuators in the middle of the bridge. Ain't nobody gonna, you don't have to have any money to do that. I can just pick them up.
They're doing a study on the ferry.
A study?
Yeah.
It can't be that.
They study everything, right?
Yeah, next. Oh, this is another sheet of view of ferry, just to show how big it is. Next. This is the bottom around the corridor part. But this is just one part of it. This is one section. Next.
Jimmy.
This is, they had a music museum in Seattle, and that's my man Jimmy Hendrix. I knew y'all would like that. Next. And that's it with him. They had a feature on Jimmy Hendrix. When I got there, I said, I died with the hell, man. I told myself, I'm staying in this museum all day.
That wasn't on the fair.
That's it, that's all I got.
I got rolling with the cat hot out here in the town business.
It's called annoying public. Alright, announcements, we have a CRPC meeting on the 16th at 5:30, and town hall will be closed July 4th. And, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Move.
Move, Mr. Andre.
I second.
Second, Mr. Rhodes, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Nay, aye. And this bottle here, this is a biodegradable bottle. It's plastic, but it's biodegradable. Can you imagine? I wonder if that's something called.